Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Today on Tuesday, May 16th. We are talking about a dynasty draft that you guys did, you being Dave, Jamie, and Heath. Just last week or a couple weeks ago, we're renaming the Azer strategy and a lot more. Your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. What's up, everybody?
Third time's a charm.
Bad at intros. Bad at intros, bad at outros.
Just a peek behind the curtain. That was the third attempt Adam had at starting the podcast. The first two sounded fine to me, sounded fine to Jamie, sounded fine to Heath. But Adam, a little sensitive about how he starts and ends things. Mainly because he doesn't know how to start and end things.
We're renaming the Azer strategy today.
What if
that's bad. I gotta do it again.
What if I did a bad outro and I was like, nope, we gotta do the whole show again. Didn't like that one.
That'd be fine.
Well, we would certainly stay for that.
The whole "what if I did a bad outro" is kind of a thing you've done plenty of times,
yeah,
right?
It does happen all the time.
I think the worse the intros and outros are, the better it is for our program.
The outros, yes. The intros, no. Once we've got them hooked for an hour, I can do whatever I want. But we got to get them hooked to begin with.
I don't like that attitude.
Just
remember
that
there's other shows that they could download.
No.
There's other fantasy football podcasts that people could download.
Incorrect.
Though. We want to make sure that people are informed and entertained, and they are kept in the know.
And what a better way to do it than talking about intros and outros for the first 5 minutes of the show.
Wow, we've got everybody hooked.
So let's
Adam,
inform.
Should we start over?
Let's inform. Right now, with our email of the day from Billy.
Oh, you lost me.
Billy from the ACC School of the Panthers' new kicker, Harrison Butker.
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech is correct. Good job. Dear Alexander, McNabb, and Vic. Michael.
I know who Alexander is.
Who's Alexander?
All
right. I don't know what you're doing here.
Sean Alexander.
I believe those are all players that were on the cover of Madden.
There we go, because this is about Tom Brady. How does Tom Brady making the Madden cover affect him in your rankings now that he is guaranteed to miss some games to injury? Is he still your number two quarterback? Hashtag Madden curse.
Jamie, you want to handle this one?
Nope.
And we're done.
Okay.
He's no longer my number two quarterback. He's number one for me.
He's number one. That's the best. Okay, good. So we don't care about the Madden curse. All right, so we actually are getting a pretty decent amount of feedback about the strategy of taking two players on the same team.
What strategy?
Well, right now it's the Azer strategy, but that is
No. It always is.
No, I don't want it to be. Strategy. I'm calling for a rename.
Okay, we'll call it the Boy Who Likes to Sing strategy. The Hairiest Podcast Host strategy.
Okay. That's fine. We could do something funny like that. I just don't want it to be known as the Azer strategy. I was thinking, the teammate strategy. Does that work?
The Bonanza strategy?
No, you don't want the strategy to work.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's gotten such glowing remarks so far.
No, it has. People agree with the theory, I think.
You must have ignored the last email that we got that said Azer's doing it wrong. Already
ignored it. If you read the notes, you'd know it's right there in the notes. It's coming up in 2 minutes. I didn't ignore that.
If you think I'm reading anything other than magazine content in the next 48 hours, you're insane.
Well, yes, the magazine we'll have an update on that. But in all seriousness, here are what I think are the parameters of the teammate strategy.
The teammate strategy.
We can do better than that, right?
It's the
strategy. Friendship strategy.
Two pass catchers.
All right, here you go.
Here comes the friendship.
This will get you. We'll call it the Zoe strategy.
No. All right.
Stranger Things strategy?
Perfect. The Stranger Things strategy. Two pass catchers from the same team.
That's perfect.
Can be a tight end or a wide receiver. Two pass catchers from the same team. Both should have independent value, meaning you would just draft them regularly at that spot. You must be okay with dropping one of them at some point. If I said to you, okay, you can draft both of them, but at one point you're going to be dropping one of them. You have to be okay with that reality. And they have to have must-start potential if one of them were to go down. That is sort of how I frame
it. The second to last part that you just said doesn't work with how you came up with this from last year.
Why? I could have, in theory, I didn't know what Crabtree was going to be. I took him in the eighth round. I could drop eighth round pick.
You did know what he was going to be because he was exactly the same the year before.
Oh, if that were the case, we would have drafted him in the fourth round.
No, but you knew what he could be. I mean, it's not like you went into the, like if we're talking about doing it with the two Ravens receivers.
Yeah.
You could drop those two guys going in because they haven't really done much.
But they don't really have independent value. They have independent value, it's just not high value.
I don't think anybody went into their draft last year saying, I'm going to take Michael Crabtree with the thought I may drop him.
I thought it was realistic. If you had told me, just in general, if you had told me I'm dropping my eighth round pick, that wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe we should get some examples of what the Catboy strategy is before we...
The what strategy?
Catboy. My favorite suggestion yet, by the way.
The Cook's Blue
Teen
Apron
Wolf.
Topless
Teen
strategy.
Wolf. Teen Wolf strategy.
The Teen Wolf strategy. Also, I think you guys suggested earlier in the week the Adam Azer is a narcissist strategy. That one doesn't quite roll off the tongue. All right. So different types of combos.
I like
here.
How he brings it up, though.
Yeah.
And puts his own name back in there.
Yeah.
Davante Adams and Randall Cobb. I could see myself dropping Randall Cobb, but what if Adams isn't good? What if Adam gets hurt? Then Cobb's a must-add. Keenan Allen, a combination of Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Tyrell Williams.
I think I like the Mike Williams and Tyrell Williams.
Love it.
The Williams strategy.
The Williams strategy.
That's what we should call
good
it.
Good tennis players, awesome.
I did Willie Snead and Kobe Fleener. I explained that one on the last podcast. I feel like one of them will be good. John Brown and J.J. Nelson might be my favorite one. I think.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like where your head's at with that. And so what is that? You get who's going to go first? Nelson, right?
Nelson's going to go. Well, they both go late.
I think Brown might go first.
They both go late.
Brown's could come on pretty strong here if he's a full show for camp and all that jazz. He could definitely have a resurgence.
If the latest report on Chad Williams is correct, that they're going to groom him to be Fitzgerald's successor, then that's great for the other two guys. Because if they're going to try and stick Williams into replacing one of those two, then you would be a little bit more down on
it. Apparently, he's off to a good start based on a rookie minicamp.
Yeah. And
he's facing other rookies.
Who isn't? And Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard.
Who is it?
One.
Deontay Foreman's not.
Oh, yeah. Deontay Foreman out of shape. But Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard. And there are so many more that we could say and do. These are the ones.
Almost one for every team.
Probably. But obviously, you want to target good offenses here. So. All right, that's
so we're not going to do the Eric Decker or Darius Stewart combo.
You know, it's funny. Like Decker's worst season was when he was the number one guy. He was the number 26 receiver in standard leagues. So if that's terrible, where you're going to draft him this year?
But I feel like that's a ceiling.
But you wouldn't do it with Stewart. You do it with Anunmo.
You could have your pick of any Jet receiver.
Well, Quincy
Anunmo's
going to start. I mean, there's a report.
You could get them all.
There's a report out of New York that Anunmo's going to be the number one guy. There.
It's like a crappy green and white Pokemon.
So I know Jamie hasn't looked at the notes, but we do have a section called Let's Talk About These Guys, and Quincy Anunwa is one of these guys that we were going to talk about. So that's very, very good, Jamie. I don't know. Do you have any comment on the friendship strategy?
I'm just going to ignore it and laugh whenever you bring it up.
I honestly think it's a good idea. I think I'm going to be pretty invested in it.
I like it. If we're talking about back half, middle to back half of the draft, I don't know if I'm employing this if I'm spending an early pick on some of the guys you named, Adams, Keenan Allen.
So what about, let's say, AJ Green and John Ross?
Yeah, I like it. I like it because I think both could be independently valuable. And I think that I could see myself dropping John Ross if that happens. You're taking a late round pick on him. And I think that if AJ Green gets hurt, He's a must-add player, so you're going
to I think what you need to do is just come up.
It's handcuffing. In that example, it's handcuffing.
That's more handcuffing, yes.
In that example, it's handcuffing. I think in the Cardinals example, it's more of take a shot
you're
on two guys
with
upside. You're
taking two shots, right, with one of them. Same with the Ravens.
But the difference between that and handcuffing is that your handcuff is usually a waste of a roster spot. You know, your handcuff is usually a backup
running.
John
Ross might be, too.
He might be, but he might not be. At least he's got an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it comes down to what you think of somebody like John Ross. You know, that's kind of where it stands. You know, it's just like what I was going to say is I think you need to set some parameters about the either if you take somebody early, there's got to be some sort of round separation between these guys. So like Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, you get Jackson in some scenarios Round seven?
Seven, yeah.
All right, what so if I said this? What if I said this?
That's a six-round difference between those two guys, and I think that's not bad at all.
At least one of the picks has to be outside the top 80.
I don't like all these rules. Yeah, I only like one strategy.
Which is what?
The NIPS strategy.
What is that?
No intentional positional strategy.
What is that? Just best player available?
Not necessarily.
I'd like to know the background about how you figured out somebody, the name for that strategy.
If somebody says that they've seen your strategy, have they seen your NIPS?
They have seen my NIPS.
Okay, well, what does that mean?
Well, if I have to explain it to you, son.
No, Heath, what does
maybe
no intentional...
you've been to the beach with Heath.
What is no intentional...
Draft with me, and I'll show you my NIPS.
I bet... Okay, well, I look forward to that. Well, I'd love to see him on the air.
Can we just send out this tweet? We talk NIPS.
Yeah.
Friendship and NIPS.
Our friendship and Heath's NIPS.
And now everybody is going to other fantasy football podcasts.
So
this is the best one we've had in a long time.
Let's read some emails about the friendship strategy. Joe in the SPO says Sammy Watkins and Zay Jones. And
nope, next.
That to me feels like a handcuff. But what do you guys think about Watkins and Jones?
Well, everybody wants a piece of the Bills' passing attack.
Come on, let's get a little serious here. I know we're goofing around.
Oh, I'm
but...
sorry. The friendship strategy is throwing us off.
No, it's Heath's NIPS.
I don't really know that Zay Jones is going to be must start if Sammy Watkins gets hurt. He's probably going to be better if teams have to cover Sammy Watkins. I don't know that he succeeds. He's the number one option.
I wouldn't have gone this route. But look, I could be wrong. I mean, maybe Zay Jones is going to be better than John Ross. It's possible, but I think we don't have it that way, right? In the rankings.
No, it's just hard to expect that. I mean, you have a team that's built to run the ball more so than it is to, you know, throw it all over the place.
How crazy would people be to pick up Zay Jones off waivers once Sammy Watkins gets hurt?
Well, let's put it this way. Zay Jones, I would hope, has more potential than Robert Woods. There were some people that were looking at Woods, and he had some good moments last year when Sammy Watkins first went down, but he wasn't great. He got hurt. He was
like he caught a ball and stayed in bounds kind of good moments?
No, he had the one game against the Patriots, I believe, where he had like a 100-yard game.
Yeah, everybody was starting him then.
Well, okay, but the point is...
This might be a reason to draft Sammy Watkins, is because you don't have to worry about the handcuff to him being somebody that gets picked. I don't see a lot of people going after Zay Jones.
I don't think that's the reason for or against Sammy Watkins.
I think it helps. I do.
All right. Well, it might. And the other email we got is from David, who says, I should be working, but I got distracted and wanted to point out that the friendship strategy is wrong. Rather than targeting a wide receiver one and wide receiver two from the same team, it's better to target late round guys. And that's something that David's been saying, by the way.
Yes.
I won two MFL 10s last year. So those are like the best ball leagues, right? With Steve Smith and Kamar Aiken, Davante Adams and Jeff Janis. This year it would be Kamar Aiken and Philip Dorsett or Mike Wallace and Brashad Perryman. So that's just another way to do this. And I do agree. That's a very good approach. Best ball leagues are a little bit different, but it's the same concept. You want upside. And if you
I
have
just,
yeah, go ahead.
Like I agree with you. I would wonder if both guys stay healthy. What type of luck you have picking the right one to start? Like, yeah, in a best ball strategy, that works out much better, I think, because Mike Wallace is going to have five or six good weeks, and Perryman ought to have five or six good weeks, and they probably won't be the same good weeks, and so they fill in for each other. But if you have to actually choose which of those two guys you're starting each week when they're both healthy, oh, it's going to drive me crazy.
Well, right.
And then that kills two rosters.
That is the downside to this. The upside is that one of them clearly steps up, emerges, and you can ditch the one that you don't want. If that's the case, if you're taking two late round guys, you're right. That is the downside of investing two spots on one team, but you're hoping that doesn't happen. My fear is that, yeah, one of them is going to step up, but it's going to be in like week five. And at that point, your strategy is a bust. You might have dropped that guy. You didn't know. You didn't start the right guy. So yeah, there are definitely some risks to it. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you for your contributions. Any more friendship strategy suggestions or better names for it, let us know at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
What's the friendship strategy?
It's the Azer strategy.
We
still need a name for guys that you settle on. I did not get any that I really liked. And let's go over the news and notes. ESPN.com's Redskins reporter John Keim did a starting lineup projection. He has Samaje Perine as the starting running back for the Redskins. He is calling Rob Kelly a complimentary piece to Samaje Perine, who ran a 4.65 40. He is a bigger guy. But yeah, I mean, it's just speculation. It's just one writer's projection, but, interesting.
That's a writer who knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
You have Jay Gruden, Veterinary Clear. He's a Rob Kelly guy, but Kelly's replaceable. They don't have an investment in him. He was undrafted rookie free agent last year from Tulane. And you want to talk about big guys. I mean, Kelly's nickname is Fat Rob, so it's not like he's svelte.
They don't have like a burner.
I think it'll be an interesting battle to watch in camp. And I could understand projecting that P. Ryan will win the job. But I think both players have a shot right now.
I think Kirk Cousins could throw 575 times this year.
Then he'll be a top three quarterback.
I know. We got him ranked too low.
Well, P. Ryan is the 10th running back off the board in the Dynasty draft that we'll talk about in a little bit. More news. Eddie Lacy, 253 pounds. Congratulations, Eddie Lacy. Got a little incentive there, a little bonus for weighing in at 253. And I was looking.
You have to wonder did he cut weight for that, or did he actually get down there?
What do you mean? Like
was he in a sauna the night
before?
Yeah, right. Was he just sweating it out for 24 hours, like fighters do?
Well, remember, Seattle, they had a top four rushing offense 4 years in a row until last year. They were 25th. They averaged 3.9 yards per carry. They signed Luke Jokel. They signed Ode Abushi. Could just be depth, but he might be able to start. They drafted a center, Ethan Posick, in the second round. So have you guys felt better or worse or the same about Eddie Lacy throughout the offseason? Like after the Seattle signing, reports coming out, whatever, has your opinion changed?
No. And I've always been the low man on Lacy. I got to see it. Want to see him in camp. In late camp, maybe even the preseason, because he looked good last year in camp for Green Bay, and then
he looked good in the season too.
He ballooned. He didn't look good. He ran well. He looked good when he played. That's what you probably.
That's always been the case with him. He never looked good. He doesn't look good in a
suit. It depends. Is the suit like a 54?
The Michelin
nice
man
and
suit.
White?
Yes, right. He looks good there.
If you say you're the low guy, how low are you? Because I've got him as a high end number three. I don't want him as my starter.
Yeah,
but
I think I'm probably right in that same neighborhood.
Yeah,
he's number two for me. I'll buy in.
Okay, steady Lacy.
I don't see him becoming Marshawn Lynch. I think he's going to split no matter what.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not there. I'll take Marshawn over Eddie Lacy.
I'll take the younger guy. That
I've got
retire.
Him as a number three running back. Yep. I'll take him ahead of Jeremy Hill, and Latavius Murray, and Frank Gore, and Ty Montgomery.
Okay. Christian McCaffrey, still in school, cannot be at the Panthers facility until mid-June. Reminds me a little bit of Paul Perkins last year, who got off to a slow start. One of the reasons they said that he got off to a slow start was because he was in school late. Does that concern?
Wasn't he at rookie minicamp for the Panthers last week?
I didn't think so. The report I said was that he couldn't be at the facility until June.
He hasn't graduated yet, so he's technically not allowed to practice.
I thought... I could swear I saw him.
Practicing. Who's enforcing that rule?
The National Football League.
A lot of the players have not graduated and go back and try to finish their degree in the off season. What?
Oh, well, because school's still in session. They do like trimesters or something like that at Stanford. I guess it's sort of a technicality. It does affect some players. Does this bother you at all with Christian McCaffrey maybe getting a late jump?
He participated in their rookie minicamp. Maybe he can't do the full team stuff.
Okay. I mean, he could technically be there on the weekends, I guess, and they practice over the weekend. I think two things, Adam. You bring up Paul Perkins. You talk about all the time first-round picks versus fifth-round picks and what the investment is in him. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with where he'll start the season, whereas Perkins was kind of eased into action. At this time last year, we were having the debate about Jennings versus Perkins. And I think it's just McCaffrey's in a better situation. The best thing that McCaffrey has going for him is that his former running backs coach, we talked about this before, is now the receiver coach for the Panthers. So I would assume there's a lot of communication going on, probably more so than there would be in just a normal player-coach situation, because those guys have a history together going back to the last 3 years at Stanford.
Okay. Saints are hoping for Max Unger to return around week 3 of the preseason. This would be a developing story that we'll keep an eye on. Steelers offensive lineman Willie Colon, former Steelers offensive lineman Willie Colon, said that Ben Roethlisberger really did consider retiring this offseason. So you never know. This could be Big Ben's last year, guys. Whatever that means. Okay. Hugh Jackson of Cleveland. He said that the other quarterbacks are chasing Cody Kessler. They have to take the job from Kessler. I don't know how you guys feel about Kessler. I looked at the numbers. I've seen worse rookie years than Cody Kessler. Completed 65.6% of his passes. Only threw 2 picks in 9 games, 8 starts.
He wasn't horrible.
Yeah. Not that we're going to start him, but could he be someone who provides fantasy value for his receivers and tight ends?
I'm relatively excited about Corey Coleman having a good sophomore year.
I mean, look, you know, the first 2 games, we talk about this with Willie Snead a lot, Adam. You know, Snead's production in the first 2 games before he got hurt and Michael Thomas took over. Coleman's production in the first 2 games before he broke his hand was almost similar. He had a 2-touchdown game in week 2. You know, he was the first receiver drafted of that class last year, and there's clearly a lot of talent in that group. And so it's not going to take much. You know, I mean, the fact that Pryor's gone, Kenny Britt, you know, had a 1,000-yard season last year, but is he really that impressive? Njoku, you know, is a rookie tight end and still has a lot of learning to do. So that offensive line is going to give Kessler a lot of time. And so I think at some point, though, the thing that they're going to have to do because of probably where they'll finish is give Kizer playing time because of the quarterbacks that are in the draft next year. And so to make the decision on is Kizer somebody that could be their future. So who knows how long Kessler will be in there, which will clearly impact the receivers. But he's gonna open the season as a starter. I don't think Kaiser's going to be that guy.
Okay. Final note here is Beth Mowins and Rex Ryan are going to call the second Monday Night Football game of Week 1 this year. They always do that little doubleheader. Mowins will be the first woman to do play-by-play for a regular season NFL game in 30 years. Very cool. Congratulations. And that'll be fun with Rex Ryan on there.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing what Rex has to say.
Dave?
What?
Do you have to leave us?
Yeah.
Oh, Dave, that's a leave early today. Bye, Dave.
Well, not going to say goodbye at all.
No. Does that finger mean you're number one?
No friendship strategy here. Okay, so.
Wow, you're showing your nips too?
Let's talk about these players, and then we'll get into
your belly button.
The Dynasty Draft. There's no way. Quincy and Noah, I want to talk about 4 wide receivers that we haven't spoken much about. It's kind of a dead period right now in the NFL, so we'll fill time. Quincy and Noah, Marvin Jones, Cole Beasley, Taylor Gabriel, all fantasy relevant at some point last season. Didn't really put it together for a full season, but Anunua is interesting. 6'2", 225 pounds, entering his fourth season, had 857 yards in 16 games last year. Actually, led the Jets in receiving with 22 fewer targets than Brandon Marshall. Let's not forget that Robbie Anderson, though, came on really strong at the end of the season. That was with Bryce Petty at quarterback. And the Jets drafted Ardarius Stewart in round 3, Chad Hansen in round 4. Tell me about Quincy Anunua, though. Do you think he has any sleeper appeal going into this season?
Yeah, I think he does. I probably like him as much, if not more, than most other guys on this list. I think there's a decent chance that he's the number one wide receiver in New York. Eric Decker has a lot to prove coming back from injury. And we haven't really seen him succeed as the number one wide receiver in an offense.
Here were his numbers when he was the number one guy in terms of Decker. It was 2014, his first year with the Jets after signing from Denver. And Geno Smith was his quarterback for a good portion of the year. I forget who else he was sharing the job with. Was it Sanchez? Who started the season? I don't know if it was Sanchez.
I'll find out for you.
So he had 74 catches, 962 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He was the number 26 receiver in standard leagues. I don't know if that's the ceiling for him this year. It wouldn't be surprising. I mean, Decker's always underrated.
Right.
Not obviously when he was in Denver, but, you know, the end of the Denver tenure and the beginning of the Jets tenure, he's been underrated. And so last year he got off to a good start. The year before, he was a stud. I think Anunua, just because how bad the Jets are probably going to be, we'll have some opportunities, but I think just based on how they view things is like, does Todd Bowles look at this as win now, where you're hearing management say they have to develop guys? Because if Todd Bowles is trying to win games, Eric Decker's not coming off the field very much, and probably not Quincy Anunua. But if they're trying to develop guys, they drafted 2 receivers.
Right.
Yeah.
And so those guys are probably going to get some playing time, plus Robbie Anderson, who was a rookie for them a year ago. And so you just have to wonder how this whole receiving core is going to work. Now, the nice thing about it, I think, from both Decker and Anunua's standpoint is Josh McCown, like a lot of these backup quarterbacks, they lock in on one guy. They don't spread the ball around the field very much. You know, we've seen it with Brian Hoyer. We've seen it with Fitzpatrick. McCown's one of those guys as well. And so that could lead to some good production for either of those two guys. So I think Anunua was definitely in the conversation with late round picks. But, you know, I don't know if in a 12-team, 15-round standard league draft, how many people are taking Quincy Anunua. Yeah. He's probably one of those guys that you see off waivers early in the season.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons I like him is he's going to be almost free. And listen, Eric Decker's over 30 years old and coming off pretty major injuries. He may just not be as good as Quincy Anunua anymore.
Well, they were really impressed with Anunua last year, and when he was putting up some numbers early in the season, you know, you were reading quotes like, "Oh yeah, we knew it. We love this guy. He's legit." And that doesn't always mean anything, but it was nice to see. So I gave you four names, and before we go through all of them, just tell me who your favorite is: Anunua, Marvin Jones, Cole Beasley, Taylor Gabriel.
I'll say Jones.
I still think Jones, just because you know he's got a 10 touchdown season in his history. He got off to that great start last year. And all they did was add a rookie in the fourth or fifth round, right?
Kenny Golladay.
I'm sorry, third round. Yeah. I still think, though, there's still a chance Anquan Boldin could go back there if he does sign anywhere. So that's kind of, I think, where Marvin Jones lies. Because if they bring back another body, that's going to hurt him.
Okay. So here, the quarterback for the Jets that year that shared with Geno Smith, he played in the Big East. I think I know his brother played in the Big East too. His brother played in the ACC. And I think in the NFL, maybe. He was on a Madden cover.
He was on a Madden cover?
Uh-huh. We've already talked about him on today's show. Michael Vick.
Oh, right.
Did Marcus Vick have a little cup of coffee in the NFL?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He briefly appeared in one game for the Miami Dolphins, according to Wikipedia, Marcus Vick. So there you go. Okay, next is Marvin Jones. Let's talk about him. First seven games of the year, Marvin Jones, who is entering his sixth season, had seven or more fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in all seven games. It's a little deceiving because he started becoming like a low yardage, fall in the end zone, get those 7 points guy, but he did put up numbers for seven games. Last eight games, Marvin Jones had zero touchdowns, and he scored less than 5 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. In 5 of those 8 games, he was useless, and it just became the Golden Tate show. But
Golden too. He led them in touchdown.
Yeah, Tate was really good though. Jones though, we saw some stuff from him. He flashed. You know, could he be a little more consistent this year? Could he be a nice surprise, Marvin Jones?
I asked Bolden about him. You know, did Marvin kind of get overwhelmed with the early success and people talking about him filling the Calvin Johnson role? And he didn't seem to think so. He said that he didn't necessarily understand how to deal with the expectation of, and this is Bolden speaking for Jones, deal with the expectation of being a number one guy, because you remember in Cincinnati, he was clearly behind AJ Green.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the worst thing that happened to Marvin Jones, and I know I was guilty of this. I don't know about you, Heath, or you, Adam, but the preseason reports, the training camp reports about Jones being their guy and how it looked like he was going to take over. Remember, we were high on Golden Tate when Calvin retired. And then there was that whole thing of, you know, the change in the offense is not necessarily going to feature Tate.
Yep.
And Jones got off to such a hot start. I think it just kind of fooled everybody to thinking he was something better than he really is.
Okay. Cole Beasley was a number three wide receiver in PPR last year. He did not finish strong, but first four weeks was very consistent, Cole Beasley. The rest of the season, last 12 games, did not have a 60-yard receiving game, but pretty reliable to get you about 5 catches a game. I didn't know who to put on here because, like, it's just amazing to me that Dallas has not had a good number two wide receiver. You know, and there was one year where 2014, right? That was their previously great season, Romo's best year. Jason Witten had 90 targets, 703 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He was the second leading receiver behind Dez. Terrence Williams caught 8 touchdowns, but only 621 yards. I don't know. Like, I want someone to step up here. They drafted Ryan Switzer in round 4, Noah Brown in round 7.
But Switzer is basically a Cole Beasley clone.
Right. I think the problem, like, Beasley was did an excellent job as a security blanket for Dak Prescott early in the year when they were trying to keep things simple and just make sure he managed games.
And Dez was hurt.
But now that Prescott's developed a little bit, they've opened up the playbook for him, and Dez Bryant's there. There's just no way I'm trusting Cole Beasley in anything but the deepest of leagues.
But doesn't somebody have to get that production?
I think, Adam, you got to realize, I know you know this, but you know it's how Dallas wants to play.
Yeah.
They want you to play 7-8 guys at the line of scrimmage to try and stop their run, which is hard to do even in that scenario. They run a lot of play action. They run a lot of motion. And so the quarterback is always on the move, especially with Dak now compared to Romo. And so they're able to get away with minimal targets to their second outside guy and then focus, you know, mid-range down the field to Dez and certainly in the intermediate game to guys like Beasley and Witten. And so it's a formula that's been successful when the quarterback has been good. So
sure.
I don't think they need to invest a lot in the outside. I mean, we talked about this. Remember we did the wish list for teams?
Mm-hmm.
And this is one thing that we said, you know, a better number two receiver, because I think it would be great to open up the offense, but they don't necessarily view it that way, and they probably think Williams is better than we do.
Yeah, but so back in 2014, which is always the kind of, I think, like, we saw the model of what Dallas wants to be. They had a great year, lost to Green Bay on the Dez Bryant catch that wasn't a catch. They had the second fewest pass attempts in the NFL. And let me just look up where they finished there in that stat last year. But, you know, similar offensive philosophy of use that offensive line and don't throw much. They had the third fewest attempts. So they don't pass the ball much, but they pass it very efficiently. And I guess my argument is, like, it's not really an argument, but a case to be made for somebody is that in 2014, Jason Witten did get 90 targets and 703 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's not going to do that again, you wouldn't think. So I'm just wondering if there's room for it. It's weird to me that we are only drafting one Cowboys pass catcher. You know, it's right. I get it. But other than deep PPR leagues, like you said, it's weird that we're only drafting one. Is there room for someone to emerge?
Why is it weird?
Yeah, I just don't think
there's
not enough targets. Like, 90 targets is not. I know Witten had 90 targets, but that's not good.
They're such a great team, you know, and they're going to be a good offense.
But they're not a great pass offense. Not a prolific.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
pass
you're talking.
Offense.
You know, I think the better. I know your point is, you know, not necessarily their team, but we're drafting Dak, and we're certainly drafting Dak on the strength of how Dez is. But
yeah,
you know, he also tied for the NFL lead in rushing touchdowns among quarterbacks with 6 with Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, he does other things to help his fantasy value. I mean, Beasley's one of those guys, I think, you know, daily leagues, you know, when you know the matchups right, he's been clicking. You know, mm-hmm. if he has that start again, you know, PPR formats, you know, if you're stuck for a third receiver in a 3-receiver league, you know, 14 leams, he's not bad. But, you know, think about the same thing like a Nunua. How many 12-team, 15-round drafts are you going to look at Cole Beasley?
I'd rather have an Nunua than Beasley.
Yeah.
I just wish Terrence Williams were better. I think that's what
I know what you're saying, but I don't know that it would matter that much.
But
it's just
even
about the volume.
It's even like in their heyday, you know, Alvin Harper had a lot of great moments, but he was never consistent.
They're going to run the ball 400 times, and Dez is going to get, what, 140 targets?
Okay, but that's, I don't know, I mean, their heyday is not really relevant because they had Miles Austin and Dez Bryant, right? They were relevant at the same time.
But that's not the formula, though. The formula when it was the triplets, it was you take a couple shots down the field. It's the Jerry Jones model of how he wants his team to
that's
look.
That's fine. All right, I get it. We can move on. Let's talk about Taylor Gabriel. Taylor Gabriel, in his last 8 games, averaged 11.25 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues. That is outrageously good. Probably would be a top 5 wide receiver. But he did not have more than 6 targets in any of those games. Gabriel had 7 touchdowns in those 8 games, and 6 of them were receiving. 5 of the 6 receiving touchdowns were 25 yards or longer, 3 of them 47 yards or longer. Obviously, he needs more work, more attention. We can't expect him to score long touchdowns every game. But is there a chance for Gabriel to get that? Because this is a team that really did not upgrade their receivers. Is there a chance for Taylor Gabriel to take a big jump in his 4th season?
I don't see a big jump, but I think he's a good guy to have on your bench because he's a boom or bust play that could have one huge play that gives him value. And week 7, you need a wide receiver to plug in for a bye. You just play that guy and you're either going to get nothing or you might get a production that you're used to getting out of your starting wide receiver. The problem for him is he's like the anti friendship strategy play, I feel like, because if Julio Jones does go down and he starts getting a lot more attention, I'm not sure that he's any good.
Well, targets are always good, though. But so let me just bring it back to the friendship strategy. I'm glad you brought that up. This is a prolific offense.
What's the friendship strategy?
The friendship strategy. I'm not going to say my name is like Voldemort now, whatever. I'm not saying it.
Narcissist strategy.
Can you explain to me the friendship strategy?
I wouldn't do it with the Falcons. Like, I wouldn't say, oh, take Mohamed Sanu and Taylor Gabriel. One of them's going to be huge. Like, I don't think so.
That's not true. I agree.
Yeah. So that's where we draw the line with the friendship strategy.
I think the thing with Gabriel is, first off, he kind of feels the same way Anton Smith felt a couple years ago.
Yes.
Like, you never know when to use him, but there's always that chance where he wins you your fantasy week. Mm-hmm. I think if you're in the school of, and this is a very small school, it's a very private school, it's like somewhere Adam went after his au pair dropped him off. So it's the school of, do you think Taylor Gabriel's any good and can expand his role? Or do you think Austin Hooper is going to take the next step as a sophomore tight end who they invested a draft pick in last year? And so if you think that Hooper's going to be good, which I think there's, you know, probably more people that are looking at sleepers from second or third tier option guys, like I would think Hooper has a better chance of taking that next step more so than Gabriel does of continuing what he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw, you know, we talked about this a little bit with Hooper. When the targets were there for him, which was, I think, like three or four games where he had like five or six targets, he produced at a good level, which included the Super Bowl. I think that's a more realistic scenario of them trying to develop him more so than trying to develop Gabriel.
Yeah, Julio Jones, by the way, had more than double the receiving yards of Mohamed Sanu, who was number two in receiving on that team. So when you look at Julio, when you look at Dez Bryant, the amount of production that they have compared to the rest of their team, it's just staggering.
Well, I think the other problem is, like, Sanu is really good at what he does. He can't do what Taylor Gabriel does, but he's really good at what he does. And I think Taylor Gabriel is good at his small portion, but even if Julio goes out, those guys are just going to kind of chop it up.
We're going to finish the show with your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. But first, let's look
at... We're not talking about the rookie draft again.
I just said come on now. But first, let's look at the 14-team IDP. Was it half PPR?
Yeah.
Half. I don't want to give in to the masses and say half PPR. I feel like I just still want to say half point PPR, even though I know it's repetitive. But I'm going to say half point PPR. 14-team IDP rookie draft. Heath wrote the story about it. He gave his five favorite picks that came after round three, which is pretty interesting. Chris Godwin was the fourth pick of round four. He's a Tampa Bay wide receiver who was taken in round three of the NFL draft. Tekaris McKinley, this is, remember, IDP, Falcons pass rusher, first round pick. He was the sixth pick of round four. Aaron Jones, the other Green Bay running back, eighth pick of round four in this dynasty draft. He was a round five pick in the NFL draft. DeShone Kizer was a round two pick by the Browns quarterback. He was the 11th pick of round five. That's pretty late. Wow. And Bucky Hodges, tight end for the Vikings, round six pick in the NFL draft, was the last, also round six pick here, the last pick of this dynasty draft. So anyway, yeah, you want to talk about those five guys or some of those five guys and what stood out with those value picks?
Well, and to be clear, like, my favorite picks after round three were the ones I made, but I thought it'd be silly to put all my own picks as my favorite picks. I think Godwin's interesting because I don't know that he has a lot of success if DeSean Jackson stays healthy, but we've seen DeSean Jackson battle injuries, specifically hamstrings, in the past. And I think he can fill Jackson's role pretty well, especially with all the other weapons they have in that offense.
Phil Jackson, and it cracked me up.
I said Phil Jackson?
Well, you said, I think he can fill Jackson's role, and I was like, you just said Phil Jackson. So NBA lottery tonight, people. Who's excited?
Oh, I'm excited. Celtics be in the conference finals, and they have the number one overall pick. It doesn't get a lot better than that.
Crazy. Yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
That's okay. I thought Kizer was a good buy based on where he went in relation to the other quarterbacks, because I'm not so sure that I think there's a decent chance he is the best quarterback in their rookie season.
I don't know how much he'll play. That's the thing. It's just a matter of how ready is he and how much they want to develop him to see what happens going into next year. It would not be a surprise at all that they draft a quarterback with one of the first three overall picks.
They might do that. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit that they moved down to the spot to where they got the quarterback they really wanted and let somebody else move up to get the quarterbacks they weren't as impressed with.
How shocked would you be if any of the rookie quarterbacks finished this year as a top 15 quarterback.
Very.
Yeah.
Like, exceptionally.
Yeah, but we would have said the same thing last year, that any of the rookie quarterbacks would have finished there, and there were two guys that were drafted the first two overall picks, and then the guy that didn't was the fourth-round pick in Dak.
Uh-huh.
I think there's one, just because of Deshaun Watson's, what he showed in college and what he could be with the team that he ended up with.
I just wonder if he's, like, I feel like Kaiser's more likely to get on the field than Watson is.
Really?
With the way O'Brien's talked about Savage and the way he has talked about trying to learn the playbook, it seems like he doesn't have any idea what they're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think you had to give the kid some time.
I understand.
3 weeks ago.
That's true.
I would just be, I'd be surprised if O'Brien is that stubborn if they're close. Now, Tom Savage, look, he hasn't gotten an opportunity to be the guy. So maybe he comes out and blows the doors off this thing. But they kind of have gone through this the last couple of years under O'Brien of getting to the playoffs. Sure, they won a game last year, but it was because Derek Carr was hurt. It wasn't necessarily because they were great. If they want to be a team that takes the next step, Watson hopefully will be that guy. And okay. So I would just think that he has the best chance of any of these rookies. I mean, look, the Bears could feel pressure. They could throw Trubisky in there just because they have to. Kaiser could be, you know, in there. Alex Smith could, you know, finally decide he's got to throw the ball down the field and all of a sudden becomes interception happy and they throw Mahomes in there.
Okay, people. So we're going to do this rookie-only draft. We're going to go through at least the first couple rounds. 14-team league.
I was just disappointed. You didn't like Mike, which I, not just that I took him, but that Galladay went so late.
Yeah. No, yeah. There's opportunity there.
Huh?
When did he go? Oh, second to last pick of the draft. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's six rounds, 14 people, and a third round pick. And was he third round? I said third round, right? For the Detroit Lions. Yeah.
He could, if he plays Bolden's role. I mean, that was 8 touchdowns last year. Could be 5 or 6 touchdowns for him.
Yeah, pretty good. Okay. He's a 6'4" wide receiver, Kenny Galladay, out of Northern Illinois for the Lions now. So I want you all to think, you know, if you don't do a rookie-only draft, I'm sure most of you don't, think about who you'd take first. Obviously, Fournette's going to go number one in almost every dynasty draft, I would imagine. Think about who you'd take second. This is a half-point PPR league. And you've got, you know, you've got Fournette, you've got McCaffrey, you got Cook and Mixon. Those are your big four running backs. And then you got those three top 10 wide receivers, and then you've got O.J. Howard. So really, there's a lot of talent in that top eight. So Fournette was the number one pick of this rookie draft. And also keep in mind that the people drafting, they have a team, so they know what they need. So they're also trying to help themselves this year. But I think the results will be relevant for anyone.
Well, it's good that you said that, because I had the second pick, and we started this league, started the draft three weeks before. it's been a tough process on Heath, so we appreciate Heath as our commissioner. But we started the draft 3 weeks before.
The 3 weeks before the NFL draft.
The veteran draft 3 weeks before the NFL draft. And so, not knowing where the rookies were going to go, I was going into it with the impression of, with the thought process of, I'm looking at, most likely was Dalvin Cook. That was the guy I was hoping for. So figuring Fournette was going to end up, I was on in the camp of the Jaguars taking Fournette. They did. I kind of figured that the Panthers would take McCaffrey just based on the reports. That ended up happening. I was hoping Cook was going to end up with, as we talked about, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, a team that where he could blossom. Not that can't happen with Minnesota, but that was kind of how I built my team.
Jamie, let me just put it into context here. You had the second to last pick of the veteran draft, so you knew you had the second pick of the dynasty draft, the rookie draft.
Yes, you're right. So I knew where I was picking in the rookie draft. And so I went with the understanding of I'm going to take a running back in that spot. If we had already known where the players were going, I may have gone a little bit of a different route with the idea of, okay, if I know that Fournette's going one, I'm probably taking Corey Davis too.
So in other words, Corey Davis on your big board would be number two, but you needed a running back, so you took Christian McCaffrey.
There's just more longevity with receivers. And, you know, he's got such a great track record in college. He's going to get the chance to grow with Mariota, which, you know, hopefully leads to great things. And McCaffrey's a wild card. Cook is a wild card. Mixon's a wild card. You know, those are the top five guys. I don't know how many other, you know, guys you want to throw in there. Mike Williams could, could certainly be in the conversation. O.J. Howard as well.
O.J. Howard, I think, has a real case just because of the position he plays.
Well, that's
but
the
not
thing.
A two, not a two. I'm just saying.
Right, because like, O.J. Howard has to become like a top three tight end to be worth that. Because we've seen mid-range tight ends, the value of that is very, very little in a standard in a redraft fantasy league. Like you can go find a 7, 8, 9 tight end just about anywhere.
The state of tight end right now, you know, there's just a lot of the same kind of guys. You know, there's a big middle tier. So yeah. I don't think any of us would be surprised if O.J. Howard became that kind of player.
I think he very likely falls into the same Zach Ertz type area.
No, I think none of us would be surprised if he goes into the Kelce area. He's got that ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though, because we're entering a period of Gronk. Hopefully it's a slow decline, but it is a decline.
Yeah.
Graham has already declined.
Olsen's 100 years old.
Olsen's 100 years old. Reed can't stay healthy. Kelce can't score touchdowns. So they're all kind of coming back to the middle, but the middle, I think, the floor is getting a little bit higher.
I'll make a bold prediction. One of the three tight ends taken in the first round, by the third year of their career, will be an elite tight end and a superstar. I think there's a superstar out of O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, and David Njoku.
So give a comparison of somebody that we're drafting now.
Is Travis Kelce?
Travis Kelce now, but consistently every year.
I don't know that. Like I'm a Kelce fan. $12 Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
But I don't know that's not a superstar.
See, I think they're better than him. I'm saying.
I think the comparison you're trying to make, and correct me if I'm wrong. You want Jordan Reed from 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to project anyone to be Gronk, but I think.
Because Reed was great.
Yeah, I think, and Reed, like, if he did that and didn't have the injury concerns, and he did it consistently.
That's what I'm saying, what he was 2 years ago.
He's a probably like a late second round pick.
Give me the list of tight ends that are good and don't have injury concerns. It's almost not existent.
No, but that's not relevant. I'm just right. saying we've got.
Well, no, it is, because I think it's not just that those players are injury concerns. I think it's a product of playing the position.
Wait, I don't know that tight ends are so injury prone, are they?
Well,
Greg Olsen stays healthy every year.
The best one has been hurt consistently.
The best one has, yes.
Gronk, Jordan Reed,
Jimmy Graham,
Tyler Eifert,
had a career-threatening injury.
Jimmy Graham had a pretty healthy career, though. I mean, he wasn't an injury concern.
Right, but I think the problem is you know, Gronk's 27 and his body's already starting to break
down.
They're
football players. I understand. I think that we have to understand that this was, you know, talked about as one of the best tight end classes in a long, long time. So I think one of those three players – I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I think there's a great chance for one of those three players, Engram, Howard, and Njoku, to be a absolute star in this league and a great dynasty pick.
So go back to Howard. So Howard is really the point in any rookie-only draft where people are – you know, you talk about pick number 7 in a standard or you know, regular redraft.
It's 8. It's 8 in the rookies, yeah.
Oh, I think it's 6. I think that's where people start to get frustrated, because that's kind of what the discussion was. Because you know Davis and those 4 running backs are going with the first 5 picks.
Yeah,
I think that's a slam dunk. Nobody is sold on John Ross because of his size and the team he went to.
No, and the injury. See, that John Ross, I think, was a bad pick at 6 overall because he has such big injury concerns. That's what you want to avoid in a dynasty league.
That's what I'm saying. It's 6 is where the decision comes in, because do you go Ross? Do you go Mike Williams, who, you know, looked great in his last year at Clemson and is going to be with Phillip Rivers for a couple of years, but that's such a crowded receiving core. And then you have O.J. Howard, who, you know, we had this discussion on Twitter, Adam, the guy who asked us, Tevin Coleman or O.J. Howard, right? It was Tevin Coleman or David Njoku.
Okay, I don't quite recall.
Somebody asked us who's better in Dynasty to have, Tevin Coleman or David Njoku. You and I both said, or at least I think I said Njoku, just because if he hits, you have that covered for many years, and Dave said he would take Coleman. If Howard hits, if Njoku hits, if Engram hits, those are slam dunks.
Yeah.
You know, and what we were just talking about, but it's kind of that, you know, tipping point of where the rookie draft turns a little bit, because there are guys after that, throw in Ross, throw in Williams, throw in Samaje Perine, Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, well, why don't I go through the picks? Let's do it.
Sure.
Round 1, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Corey Davis to Heath, who took him over Mixon and Cook. Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook. So Fournette, McCaffrey, Corey Davis, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook. I would be very tempted to take, and I wasn't in this draft, thankfully. I hated this league. I would be very tempted to take Mixon or Cook over McCaffrey. So, Jamie, why did you take McCaffrey?
Two reasons. The half-point PPR scoring was one, because he's going to catch more passes than those guys. And two, this is a league that rewards return yards.
Ah.
So if he does play in that aspect of the game as we expect, he should have the chance to be very good, if not great.
I would take McCaffrey over Mixon and Cook if it was no return yards and no PPR.
I was tempted with Mixon because I think, and you know, you see this from a lot of people, that he could be the best, not only running back, but the best player in this class. So, you know, had he not had the off-field issues, he was a slam dunk first round pick and he could have been, you know, he could have been ahead of Fournette. So the talent for him is amazing. Those were my two choices. You know, the Cook situation, I hope he does well. It's just, you know, going to that team with signing Murray and still having McKinnon is going to be frustrating for a year or two.
Okay, so Fournette, McCaffrey, Corey Davis, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, John Ross, sixth overall, Mike Williams, seventh overall, and then O.J. Howard. So there's a pretty solid top eight. Kareem Hunt, 9.
That was the Dave.
Yep. Samaje Perine, 10. David Njoku, 11. And then we have a defensive back, Jamal Adams, first-round pick for the Jets, going 12.
That was the Chris. I think Adams is interesting, but Jared Davis should be the first rookie defensive player taken. He's going to have so many tackles as the starting middle linebacker for the Lions.
And I'm probably not taking a defensive player until the second round. But, yeah, I would agree Davis is the first one to take.
All right, I'll recap after that top five. John Ross, Mike Williams, O.J. Howard, Kareem Hunt, Chiefs running back, Samaje Perine, Redskins running back, David Njoku, Jamal Adams, then we have Evan Ingram, Giants tight end, and Jared Davis, 14th overall. That's the end of round one. Talk to me about Hunt versus Perine, and if there was any other running back you would have taken ahead of them, and then we'll get into Njoku versus Evan Ingram. But after the big four running backs come off the board, the next one taken is Kareem Hunt, then Samaje Perine, and then five picks later, Jamie takes Jamal Williams from Green Bay. Green Bay's rookie running back.
That was a trade. I made a trade to move there. So I traded my second and third round picks, which were, as you know, noted, I picked early in the first round, second overall. So it was picks 27
and 30.
And 30. And I got back 13 and 43, maybe?
Yeah. You're basing it on a 12-team league. This is a 14.
No, I'm basing it on a 14-team league.
You got the 15th pick.
Oh, I'm sorry, 15. Excuse me, 15 and 43.
Okay, so Jamal Williams. Would you have taken Jamal Williams over Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine?
Maybe over Perine, not over Hunt. I think Hunt could beat out Spencer Ware. You know what Keith said about that's a training camp battle to watch with Perine and Rob Kelly. I think the one in Kansas City is as well. I think Spencer Ware did an admirable job last year, but I don't think he's an exceptional talent. And Kareem Hunt may prove to be better than him. The one thing where I may have screwed up by taking Jamal Williams, just given my roster and given, again, what the long-term potential could be, is taking Jamal Williams over Alvin Kamara. Because if Kamara steps into a scenario where Adrian Peterson's not going to be there past this year, and Mark Ingram, let's just say, he moves on from the team because he'll be 28, if Kamara's a starting running back for the Saints, especially as a pass catcher, and the fact that I have Mark Ingram on my roster, that might be something that I do end up regretting long term. But I do think Jamal Williams has the chance to be the starter for the Packers, which is why I made the trade again.
I'd rather have Perine of the three of them. Williams would be my second favorite, and Hunt's behind the other two. I think he fits into the Charcandrick West role. I think the Chiefs don't want to get Ware worn down like he did last year, but I don't believe that Hunt's going to win the job outright this year. And I'm just not sure that he's a three downs back. I'm not sure that he can handle the load over a full season. So I just see him as more of a complimentary piece to Ware.
Heath, would you have taken Evan Ingram or David Njoku? Njoku went 11th, Ingram went 13th.
I would take Njoku.
Oh, we got to work
the
on
Giants, the Giants should have too.
Njoku.
Njoku.
Don't disgrace this wonderful player from this wonderful university.
Yeah, I just don't know why the Giants didn't take him instead of
I don't either. I don't either. All right, so that's round one and the first pick of round two, Jamal Williams to Jamie on the trade. Marone Berkson took Marlon Mack. A lot of M's there. That's the Colts running back with the second pick of round two. It makes sense. Reuben Foster. So, oh, how about Chris? Chris went with two defensive players with his first two picks, Jamal Adams and Reuben Foster. Why did he do that?
I don't think it's a bad strategy if you're not sold on any of the guys there. The one thing that I wonder if he would have taken Davis first if he could have got Jamal Adams second. And then he would have had arguably the two best IDP players in the rookie class.
But look, I'm not an IDP expert, but from doing the IDP league last year that I did, which had a lot of IDP, like a lot of players, what did he have? Like eight starting defensive players? Right. Like these guys, other than J.J. Watt, like they're not even close to the best offensive players.
But again, you've got to remember, I would guess that Chris probably has three running backs and three wide receivers going into this, and I think I remember him not really taking any defensive players in the veteran draft.
I don't know.
He's planning on filling it in the supplemental draft.
He could have taken Evan Ingram. He could have taken Jamal Williams.
I would have rather had Jamal Williams.
He could have ended up with Williams and Kamara and had, you know, two backfields locked up, two very good backfields locked up for a long time.
Why? He has Ty Montgomery and...
No. I'm just saying those could be the starters for the Saints for several years if it works out.
Do you think Kamara really profiles more as like a Darren Sproles, though? He is 5'10". He's not small. But my impression was that Kamara was the next Sproles, so to speak, and he got drafted by the Saints. So I don't know that he ever would be a, you know, 15 carry
guy. I don't think he's going
guy.
To be a three-down back.
No, but you never know how things work out. It doesn't necessarily have to be... 200 carry a season guy, but he could be 150 carries and, you know, 55 catches.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jamal Williams, Marlon Mack, Reuben Foster, Miles Garrett, Hassan Reddick. We got a lot of defenders coming off the board, defensive players. Deontay Foreman, the Texans running back who is out of shape right now. Alvin Kamara, Deshaun Watson. This is the first quarterback off the board, Heath?
Yes.
Deshaun Watson, second round, eighth pick. Curtis Samuel, Panthers wide receiver. Zay Jones, Bills wide receiver. Jabril Peppers. Josh Reynolds, Rams wide receiver to Heath. Joe Williams, 49ers running back. Oh, I like that pick. Joe Williams, second to last pick of the round. And then Jake Butt, the last pick of round two. Good stuff here. What do you think?
I like the Joe Williams pick as well. I think the interesting thing is the reason I made the trade, and I tried with a couple different owners to make trades at the end of the first round, I just didn't love the guys that were going to be coming back at that spot. You know, so there's no, like, Joe Williams could be very good, especially with what's going on with Carlos Hyde right now.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, he may be great. You know, I mean, he could be starter for the 49ers, probably no. But I thought it was an easy trade to try and get back toward the end of the first round, beginning of the second round with the guys that were still there. And again, the fact that Kamara still hasn't come off the board is a very good sign.
Okay, let's give some grades. I'll just say a pick in round three, and you just give me an A through F grade, or A plus through F.
Okay.
Juju Smith-Schuster, Pittsburgh wide receiver.
B.
Yeah, B minus.
Rams tight end Gerald Everett.
B.
C plus.
Homer Heath takes Patrick Mahomes.
A plus.
That was not a bad pick. That was a good pick, yeah.
And he planned that. I mean, he talked it out well in advance that he thought he'd have a shot at him in that range.
I was hoping to get Reynolds in the second, Mahomes in the third, so I may have been wrong, but at least I got the guys that I wanted.
Okay, there you go. Malik Hooker, defensive back for the Colts now.
That one pissed me off because that was the guy that I was hoping would fall.
Yeah, I'd give that an A-.
Yeah.
Marcus May, Jets defensive back.
C.
D plus.
Eagles running back DJ Pumphrey.
D minus.
C.
Niners defensive lineman Solomon Thomas.
C.
Really?
He's just going to give all
that's my the third overall pick C-. In the draft.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not bad.
Okay.
They have a nice defensive line in San Francisco if those guys all stay healthy and hit.
Texans linebacker Zach Cunningham.
B.
C.
Redskins defensive tackle Jonathan Allen.
That was the Dave, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
C. That was the third round?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. B+.
B+, all right. Cleveland running back Matt Days.
Too soon.
Yeah.
F.
Sure.
Brinson! Ardarius Stewart! Jets wide receiver, Ardarius Stewart.
Hey.
Yeah.
Eagles defensive lineman, Derek Barnett.
Oh, that was another one that pissed me off. I wanted him too. That's an A.
Well, Chris has every defensive player, so you couldn't, you know, this is the problem.
You got a young defense.
Yeah.
Young and exciting.
Carlos Henderson, Broncos wide receiver.
C.
Minus D.
And Taywan Taylor for the Titans wide receiver.
That's a good one.
B minus.
Yeah, B plus.
All right, so I think my most interesting takeaways was basically what we talked about with the top five and Heath taking the wide receiver, Corey Davis, third, and Jamie basically acknowledging that he's kind of number two for you, but you had to take a running back. And then, you know, the discussion about O.J. Howard. Where would you take John Ross? Because I think you don't want to...
I'm fine with him going sixth.
You are? Because I think the worst thing that could happen to you in this Dynasty League is you take a guy who can't stay healthy.
Well, then... Do you take any running backs in the first
but
round?
But, like, he has medical red flags. I'm not just picking on John. Like, this guy is a big injury risk.
Yeah, and for the foreseeable future, he's not going to, you know, lead his team in targets.
Sure.
He may not lead his team in touchdowns. You know, I think the way I would probably go after we get past Davis and the first four running backs, I would go Howard, Williams, Ross.
Howard, Williams, Ross. All right, let's read emails. We're going long today. We'll do these quickly. This is from Andy. Andy wants us to talk... well, everybody wants us to talk about auctions, but he plays in a 14-team standard scoring auction league, a $220 draft budget. It's pretty challenging. Well, you know what? I'm just gonna tell you, Andy, yes, we will talk more about auctions. I promise. There have been too many people who have asked for me to ignore it, so I apologize for not doing more last year. We'll do more auctions. So, sorry, let's go to the next email. Evan from a suburb of Minnesota.
We've got some questions on this, I guess, you know, just to address it. I think at some point in the next 3 weeks or so, our auction values will be on the site.
Ah, okay.
So that's probably a better jumping off point if you want to wait for that.
Sure, yeah. They're Peter, Drax, and Groot. Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Right? Yeah? Really?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Well, that's rude. Two keeper, 10-team PPR league.
I want a 10-keeper, 2-team.
lose the next higher draft round each year to keep a player. I have Antonio Brown and Julio Jones. So Evan can keep Antonio Brown and Julio Jones in the first and second rounds, or he can keep one of them and Michael Thomas in the 15th round.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's gonna, and he can keep him obviously for many years, it sounds like.
And people can only keep two players, so it's not like the second round pick's worth nothing.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, so if Thomas keeps increasing value year over year?
Right. In theory he could keep Thomas for like 13 more years.
Then you gotta keep Thomas and Julio because you get Julio for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, Thomas and Julio.
All right, this is from Connor. Dear Alan, Stu, Phil, and Doug.
That's a hangover.
Thank you. 10-team PPR league, I'll be drafting in the third position. In a recent mock draft, I drafted Zeke in the first round and Dez Bryant in the second round. I play with four diehard Eagles fans. They hate the Cowboys will not draft Dez, so he might actually fall to me. Do you have a problem with drafting your top running back and wide receiver from the same team? Your first two picks being from the same team, running back and receiver.
Nips. No problem at all. I think getting Dez there is outstanding value. If you can get both of those, that's great.
Well, think about some of the better players at those positions. Obviously, the Steelers, you'd be thrilled to death if you ended up with those two guys.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Name McCoy and Sammy Watkins. If Watkins is good.
Yeah, I don't...
Todd Gurley and Robert Woods.
Obviously, it's Beckham and Gallman, obviously. This is from Michael. Dear Tommy, Harold, Irving, and Deshaun. Eagles? I don't know. Irving Fryer?
Julius Irving?
Oh, yeah, it could be him. Yeah, so, the question. I'm in a $1,000 salary cap keeper league. Is Mike Evans at $189 reasonable, or would you try to get him back in the auction? So that'd basically be like a $19 Mike Evans in a $100 league.
Yes,
that's very reasonable.
Yeah. Last one is from Ryan in a small town in southeast Michigan. Dear Charlie, Adam, and Fulton. Come on, guys. Okay, I'll tell you. It's Mighty Ducks. This is year two of a dynasty team I inherited. I'm working on rebuilding my squad. I'm thin at running back with Melvin Gordon, Latavius Murray, Gio Bernard, and CJ Procise. So a buddy of mine offered me the following. I give Melvin Gordon and the sixth pick of the rookie draft. I'm guessing, right? Yeah, has to be. The rookie draft. So give up Gordon and the sixth pick. We just talked about how those four running backs are going to be probably top five picks. I get LeSean McCoy and the fourth pick. And I get the 11th pick of the first round as well of the rookie draft. So again, I'll say it. You give up Melvin Gordon and the sixth pick of the rookie draft. You get LeSean McCoy and the fourth and the 11th pick.
So that basically gives you two young running backs and McCoy.
No.
You're gonna probably end up taking one of those guys in the first four. And at 11, that's potentially Hunt, Perine, Williams, whoever else you think goes next.
Yeah, okay. But you don't know that you're starting them this year, but yes.
I think I'm sticking with Gordon and just taking a couple rookie running backs in the draft.
See, I make the trade because you're potentially even this year with McCoy and Gordon.
Yeah, if not ahead.
You lose out on the future of those two players because Gordon's got much more upside. But what's your better... I'd like to know the rest of this guy's team, obviously, but you know, is John Ross, O.J. Howard, or Mike Williams better than rebuilding your running back group?
I feel like it's worth it to get one of those four picks and guarantee yourself either Mixon, Cook. You're not going to get Fournette. Mixon, Cook, or McCaffrey. Yeah. You know?
Right. I would. That's why I would do it with also the chance of look at 11 could be Njoku. It could be Ingram.
Njoku. So you
know, it could be Jamal Williams, Kareem Hunt. Could be P. Ryan. You know,
it's a good draft. This is a good crop of offensive players. It's a fun time to be doing a dynasty draft. When the heck is my dynasty draft?
You weren't invited.
No, I have a dynasty league. I got to look up when the draft is. I hope it's soon. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We're done for the day. We'll be back on Thursday with another edition of Fantasy Football Today. For all of you who stay tuned for the entire hour and 7 minutes, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Talk to you Thursday.
Laser Shadow.